Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Karen, just in case you haven't met me before. Welcome to week two of Jesus the Game Changer. Now, I've got a question for you, a little something to ponder. In the video, Carl, and I've remembered his name today. Last night I called him Chuck because I couldn't remember his name, so I just picked Chuck out of the air. But in the video, Carl said that Jesus, when he was on earth, treated everybody as equals. Here's my question. Does that mean that he treated everybody equally? Did he treat everyone the same? I don't know. Let's have a think about that as we go through this morning. You know, he said that that Jesus went into this world where there was this structural inequality. And I think we like to think that we're so much more advanced these days, so much better people. I mean, we've got electricity, we've got medical advances, we've got Twitter. I mean, come on, if we've got Twitter, we must be better people, mustn't we? But, you know, there is so much inequality. Who sees inequality in their everyday life? I sure do. You know, maybe it's a different inequality, maybe it's not structural like it was then, but there's inequality everywhere. And so this message about Jesus the game changer and what he said about equality is just as relevant to us today as it was to the people that he was talking to a couple of thousand years ago. And, you know, for me, how we see that Jesus did treat people as equals is having a look at some of the people that he ministered to and he performed miracles on. And we're not going to go through this whole list, but here's just a couple of the people, and this is just picking a couple randomly from the Gospels, that Jesus ministered to or Jesus performed miracles on. The first one, the Samaritan woman. Now, Jews did not talk to Samaritans. Like, there was, whoa, that didn't happen. And to talk to a Samaritan woman, that was just unheard of. And by talking to that woman and changing her life, Jesus the game changer was flipping society on its head. The centurion, well, that was a Roman, and the Jews didn't like the Romans. As he said in the video, Jesus dealt with man and woman, you know, male and female, old and young, rich and poor, and treated them as equals. He healed lepers. He healed people who were demon-possessed. He healed people that no one else would even go near. And this is how he flipped society on its head and its way of thinking of treating everyone as equal. Why did he treat everyone as equal? I mean, in the video, Carl said that it's because we were all created in God's image. We've all got that spark, that image of God, the image of the Word of God in us. We were all created equal. And there's another thing that I think is really important to remember when we're thinking about why Jesus treated everyone as equal and why God created us as equal. There's a verse here from Romans. God does not show favoritism. God's not like, well, I like the women better. I like, you know, women are all power to the women and they're better than men. But he's not, yay, men, they're better than women. You know, God doesn't show favouritism over genders. God doesn't show favouritism over different nationalities, over anything. So that's one of the reasons that we're all treated as equal, because God is fair and God is just. And God doesn't show favouritism. But you know what? I think there's actually one underlying reason, one underlying thing about why Jesus treated everybody as equal. And it comes down to this. The first one's perhaps the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. And the second one is a slightly different way of saying it, that it's not that we love God, but it's that he loves us. For me, it comes down to love. It comes down to God loving us. God loving us so much that he sent his son to restore the relationship that was broken, the relationship that our sin had broken between mankind and God. And he sent Jesus to do that because he loved us so much. And what is the ultimate demonstration of God's love is our salvation. So the reason I believe that Jesus treated everyone as equal is because of God's great love and because God loves us equally. God doesn't love one person more than another person. He doesn't love anyone less. Just as Jesus treated everyone as equal, God loves everyone as equal. And it's a concept that we probably know it here. Yeah, of course, God loves everyone as equal, yeah. But do we sometimes know it here? Now, I want to ask you two questions today to do with this whole idea of Jesus the game changer, equality, and the idea of Jesus loving us equally, God loving us equally. The first question is, how would your life be different today if you accepted that God loves you just as much as he loves everybody else? How would your life be different if you accepted that God loves you just as much as he loves everybody else? You're not down here, you're not some subclass of person. He loves you just the same. Now, the instant reaction of some people when you say that is, yeah, Karen, that's fine, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know who I am. You don't know my past. You know what? For people who say that, I have some fantastic news for you today. Here's some verses from Romans 8. Now, this is Paul writing to the Romans, obviously, because it's the book of Romans. And Paul describes himself as the worst sinner. And he says, I am convinced that nothing, nothing at all can separate you from the love of God. Angels can't, demons can't, no powers, no height, nor depth, nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is shown through Christ Jesus. Wow. Does that mean that my sin doesn't stop God loving me? Nothing stops God loving you. Now, let me be clear. As I said before, our sin is what gets in the way of our relationship with God. Our sin breaks that relationship, but it doesn't stop him loving us. Nothing, say it with me, nothing can stop God loving you. And you know what? Here's some more good news, part two. Yeah, our sin can get in the way, sure. Our sin breaks the relationship. But a verse from 1 John, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and he will forgive us our sins. So for anyone saying, yeah, Karen, that's nice, but you don't know what I've done, you don't know who I am, doesn't matter. Because God will forgive you of your sins and nothing can stop God loving you anyway. Is that good news? I think it's fantastic news. So, thank you for the little woo, whoever that was from. How would your life be different if you accepted that? You know, maybe there's someone here that's never accepted God into their life because they don't think that they're worthy of it, they don't think they deserve it. You know, maybe for that person today, you're like, you know what, God? It's scary, but I'm going to accept that you love me as much as everybody else, and I'm going to step out today and I'm going to accept Jesus into my life. Oh my goodness. As it said in that scripture passage that Russell read, by the way, Russell's my brother and it's so nice to have him in Brisbane. You know, there's so much rejoicing in heaven over one lost sinner returning. That is the best thing that could possibly happen in your life, is coming to know Jesus for the first time. You know, maybe if you started accepting today that Jesus really does love you as much as everybody else, then maybe today you'd be able to step out and do that thing that God's been telling you and calling you to do for so long. And you've been afraid to do that thing that he's calling you to do because you think, oh, look, someone else will end up doing it better. And you know, I'll fail. And remember, God doesn't show favourites. God's not going to call you to do something and then go, ha-ha, change my mind, this person's going to do it better, ha-ha, because that's not God. If you accept that God loves you as much as everybody else, maybe today is the day when you step out in faith and do that thing he's calling you to do. Maybe today, if you accept that God loves you as much as everybody else, today will be the day when you'll stop striving for his love. The day when you'll stop trying to earn God's love, trying to work for it. Here's a great verse. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by work so that no one can boast. As I said, our salvation is the ultimate symbol of God's love for us, and that's given to us as a free gift. It's not something that we earn. It's not something that we can work for. We can't earn God's love. He loves us anyway. That doesn't mean that we don't serve and don't do things for God, but it's about the order. We don't do things so he'll love us. We do things because he loves us, and out of an outpouring of that, we want to serve him. So, how would your life be different today if you accepted that God loves you just as much as he loves everyone else? You know, if that's touched a little spot for you today, we're going to come back to that a little bit later, because I have a second question. I wonder if you can guess what it's going to be. How would your life be different today if you accepted that God loves everybody else as much as he loves you? Or, did I go there? How would your life be different if you accepted that God loves everyone else just as much as he loves you? Is she suggesting that some people think that God loves them more than other people? Okay, look, perhaps we won't go that far. But he said in the video, how do we act? Do we maybe act like God loves us more? No, I'm sure none of us ever would. In fact, I think that's a bit of an awkward question. Maybe we should just put it over here for a little while. What do you think? Come back to it if there's time. I'm getting some stares. I don't think people like that question. We'll come back to it later. Let's talk about equality. That's much more interesting. So this topic is called Jesus the Game Changer, Equality. And I asked you at the beginning, did Jesus treat people equally? Did he treat them the same? And my answer is no. And I'll tell you why. Now, I want to show you a picture, and some of you will have seen this idea before. And if you have, you'll know that there's a whole stack of language that I could use around it. But I don't want to get bogged down in words today, so I'm just using the one word, equality, rather than the 50 other words that I could use. So you don't need to tell me afterwards. But I want you to consider this picture. Here are three boys who want to watch a ball game. And they're different heights. And someone has come along and decided to treat them equally. It's given them each a wooden crate to stand on. And for the tallest kid, well, that's great, but he could see the game probably anyway. The middle kid, it's awesome because he can now see the game. The shortest kid, it's not helping him very much because he still can only see the fence. That's what happens when we treat people equally. Here's a better solution. As you can see, the tall kid didn't need a box at all. The middle kid needed one, and the smallest child needed two. And I believe this is what we should be doing if we are following Jesus the Game Changer and practicing equality. Now, if you think about the story of the lost sheep, did the shepherd treat every single one of his sheep exactly the same? No, clearly not. One sheep wandered off and he went after it. Jesus didn't treat everybody exactly the same. He didn't have like a cookie cutter and go, okay, here's your solution, it's exactly the same. Jesus saw that people needed restoration and they needed hope, and he did whatever was needed for that person to give that to them. The shepherd, well, he gave that one sheep what that sheep needed, which was to go and find them, in order for them to have a safe place in the pen at night, exactly the same as all of the other sheep. And up in this picture, the outcome that we're looking for here is for the kids to be able to watch the ball game. Equality isn't about giving everyone the same thing. Equality is about the outcome. Equality is about giving everybody the same opportunity to have the same outcome. We want people to be able to watch the ball game. Now, as Christ followers, what's the outcome we're looking for? Heaven. We want people to know Christ. It's written on our wall. We want people to find hope. We want people to find freedom. We want people to find transformation through Christ, don't we? Do we? We want people to come alive in Christ. We want people to have salvation. So for us, the ball game, is having people come to know Christ. And so if we're going to be like Jesus the Game Changer, we need to do what he did. We need to build crates and not fences. Now, the perfect solution to this problem, of course, is this: getting rid of the fence altogether. And wow, wouldn't it be amazing if we just completely ridded society of inequality? Maybe one day. But in the meantime, equality looks like this, or equity, or whatever you want to call it. It's about not treating everybody the same, but treating people exactly how they need to be treated so that they can have the same outcome. So what does that look like? Well, I can't give you a 100% answer because it's going to be different for every person, but that's the idea. I'll give you one idea. You can buy a donut after church. You're all like, what? The Twilight Markets. You can come along and buy something at the Twilight Markets. You're like, okay, Karen's finally flipped. What's she on about? Jeremy shared with us last night, so the money raised at the Twilight Markets, and it's quite a substantial amount, thousands of dollars is raised every year. That money goes to youth and children's. And Jeremy shared a story last night about a young guy who's been coming along to church for some time, and he is from a family that isn't able to, you know, send him on camps and all that kind of stuff. And through the Twilight Markets and things like that that we do for youth and children's, they've been able to take him along to a couple of camps and a couple of things. And just a couple of weeks ago, they had the first divisional youth thing for the year. And at the end, they had a response time. And this kid came forward and said to Jeremy, I want to give my life to Jesus. How amazing. All because he was able to go on these camps and he was able to find out about Jesus, the game changer, who loves him, doesn't matter what his family situation is, loves him exactly the same as everybody else. And that kid has given his life to Jesus. So you know what? Buying a donut, coming to the Twilight Markets, you are helping to build a crate and not a fence. You know, just like Jesus, the game changer, everything we do every day in our daily walking around and our daily talking is our opportunity to build crates and not fences. And Jesus will give us opportunities. He'll give us people to talk to, people who come into our path, where we can build crates and not fences, where we can show people the love of God, and we can help people reach that outcome of seeing the ball game, of knowing Jesus. But sometimes we don't take those opportunities. And, you know, at best, well, it's nothing, neutral. But at worst, we can be contributing to the fence. You know, has God ever given you an opportunity and you've been like, oh, but God, that person just keeps making the same mistake over and over again. They're never going to get it. I'm done with them. Or, God, that person is so annoying. I'm just going to avoid them. God, forgive me for the times when I have done that. You know, forgive me for the times when I've been impatient and I haven't wanted to talk to someone, or for the times when I've thought I'm too busy. Because I've been contributing to the fence and not to the crate. What does it look like? It's different for every person, but we need to be sure that every day and everything that we do, we are contributing to the crate and not to the fence. So I want to encourage you, we can contribute to people coming to know Jesus. Do you find that exciting? We can contribute to seeing people's lives transformed. I tell you, one of the things that gives me the greatest joy is seeing someone go on a journey from not knowing anything about Jesus to coming to know him and having their lives truly changed. Who's had their life truly changed by Jesus? How exciting that we get to be a part of that for other people and we build crates and not fences. I want to encourage you to be a crate builder, which sounds a bit strange, but when you think of the picture, you'll know what I mean. There's one more thing I want to mention. And I think, well, North Brisbane Church, we need to talk. You know what it's like when someone says we need to talk? Might be better if we sit down to have this chat. We need to talk about social media. I made a joke about Twitter before, didn't I? Who's on social media? NBC, we need to be careful. Really careful. Even the young people agree that we need to be careful about social media. Why do we need to be careful about what we say on social media? Firstly, because once it's out there, it's out there. Secondly, because you're not going to be able to stand next to everybody who reads your stuff and interpret what you meant. And thirdly, because we represent Jesus, we need to be really, really careful what we say on social media. And this is about stacks of stuff, you know, about what we say about other people, what we say about minority groups, what we say about suffering people, what we say about people we don't, especially what we say about people we don't agree with, that we don't agree with how they live their lives, we don't agree with their political stance. We need to be careful because we might make a comment that's really, really well-intentioned and someone... It's well-intentioned, but it's not well-worded. And someone takes it the wrong way or misinterprets it and takes offence at it. And maybe it's not even the person that's in that particular group that you're referring to. Maybe it's just a family member of someone and they think, well, phew, that's the church's position. No wonder no one wants anything to do with the church these days. We need to be careful. You know the other thing that can happen on social media? You don't agree with someone or someone doesn't agree with you and you make a little comment, just a little teensy tiny comment, and it turns into World War III and before you know it, it's ugly. Let me ask you a question. Put your hand up if you have ever seen somebody argued into the kingdom of God. Argued as in ugly yelling at each other? You know, maybe it happens from time to time, but that's not how we win souls, people, by getting into arguments on Facebook. Now, I'm not saying you can't have an opinion. Absolutely, we can all have an opinion. All I'm saying is we need to be really careful that that opinion doesn't start going down that slippery slope where it turns into offence, not that kind of offence, but then it does turn into that kind of offence because it becomes offensive and it becomes derogatory and it becomes hate. We need to be careful what we put on social media. Absolutely have an opinion, that's fine. I'm not saying you can't. And the other thing I'm not saying is, I'm not saying sin doesn't matter. I'm not saying we can't stand true to what we believe. We can. But I'd ask you to remember about the woman who was caught in adultery. And the Pharisees brought her before Jesus and said, well, this woman has been caught in sin. We should stone her like the law says. And Jesus says, well, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And slowly the people all wander off. And Jesus says to the lady, well, where are all your accusers? Where are the people to condemn you? And she says, well, they're gone. And Jesus says, well, I don't condemn you either. Now go and sin no more. Jesus acknowledged her sin, absolutely. But what did he do first? He showed her love and compassion and mercy and grace. And if we're going to be Christ followers, if we're going to be people who follow Jesus the game changer, that's exactly what we need to do as well. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that in my opinion, it is more important for someone to be told Jesus loves you and wants a relationship with you than for me to walk up to someone and go, well, I heard you did that and that's a sin. What do you think? We need to be careful about what we put on social media. By all means, have your opinion. By all means, be absolutely true to the Word of God. But there's ways to do things and there's a time to do things. We need to be careful what we do on social media. We want to attract people to Jesus. We want to show people a God of love, don't we? We want to show a God who gives us hope, who gives us freedom and who gives us transformation. That's what I want to do anyway. I want to attract people to Jesus. I want to build crates. I don't want to build fences. I'm going to ask George and the team to come up. You know, that social media stuff, it's a little bit tricky, isn't it? Some people might need, you know, a little bit of time to just think about that, process it. But, you know, as I said, I want to be someone who builds crates and not somebody who builds fences. And I want to give us the opportunity today to make a really symbolic statement about who we want to be as I weave in and out and in and out. Doesn't the team sound fantastic today with all these beautiful vocals? I want us today to have the opportunity not to focus on the negative of, oh, we need to be careful about what we say on Facebook and rah, rah, rah. I want us to have the opportunity to say, I want to be the person that builds a crate so someone can see the ball game. I want to be the person that builds a crate so somebody can come to know Jesus. I want to be a crate builder and not a fence builder. And if that's you today, we're going to sing a song in a minute. I'm going to invite you to come and take a stick and symbolically put it inside the crate to say, I'm going to be a crate builder. I'm going to lift people up so they can see that ball game. I'm going to lift people up so that they can come to know hope, freedom, and transformation through Christ. But you know, I also want to go back to my first question. Because maybe today is the day when you are going to accept that Jesus loves you as much as he loves everybody else. You know, maybe you've struggled with this for a long time and you've known it in your head, and yeah, of course. But maybe today is the day that you are going to accept it in your heart. Maybe today is the day when you are going to, for the very first time, say, Jesus, come into my life. You know, the Bible says you'll forgive my sins, so I'm going to ask you to forgive my sins. I want you to show me that love, Jesus. Maybe today is the day that you'll step out in faith and do what God's been calling you to do. Or maybe today is the day when you will lay it all down on the altar and say, Jesus, I'm going to stop trying to earn your love because I can't earn it because you already love me. Nothing you can do, nothing I can do is going to make God love me more because he already loves me more than I can possibly comprehend. But also at the same time, nothing I can do will make him love me any less. We can't get our minds around how much Jesus loves us. And we're going to sing a song that has those exact words. Nothing you can do can make him love you more, but nothing you can do will make him love you less because Jesus loves you with an eternal and everlasting love. And so as we sing this song, I invite you to come. I might ask some of the prayer team to come up, actually, because I always find it so much easier to go and pray when there's someone to go and pray with. So I might ask if there's some of the prayer team here, if you could come forward. And as we sing this song, I invite you to come.